Amen. It was one of those terrible summertime scenarios you read about from time to time. It was early September in San Antonio, Texas, and the thermometer had reached 99 degrees. A woman accidentally locked her 10-month-old niece inside a parked car. Quite frantically, she and her sister, the baby's mother, ran around the automobile in near hysteria. A bystander tried to help. He attempted to unlock the car with a clothes hanger. Soon, the infant was in great distress, and it was becoming a life or death situation. At this point, Fred Ariel, a wrecker driver, arrived on the scene. He grabbed a hammer and he smashed the back window of the car to save the small child from certain death. He was successful. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think Fred was heralded as a hero? Well, not by the aunt who accidentally locked the doors. Fred reports, "The lady was mad at me because I broke the window. I just thought," Fred continues, "what's more important, the baby or the window? What's more important, the baby or the window?" That story, even though as poignant as it is about what could happen to a small child locked in a hot car, just also reminds us of how so often in this world, people's priorities are all wrong. They're upside down. What's more important, the window or the child? The window or the child? In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is telling a series of parables to help us to try to understand what's most important in life. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the realm of God, God's will. And he reminds us through these five simple parables what should be most important in our lives. As you know, Jesus often taught in parables. He used very simple, everyday ideas, objects, or situations to help explain a deep truth. He used stories about items and people that the hearers could understand. Now, a parable is a lot like a joke, which means that by the time you get to the end of it, there's a surprise twist. And it's in that surprise twist where the greatest truth is found. It's where Jesus drives home the point of his parable. And that's true in those five parables about the kingdom of God that I read this morning in Matthew's gospel. Each of them has a surprise that the people hearing the parable for the first time would have scratched their head and really wondered what it was that Jesus was talking about. The first two parables are about parables that are of things that are very small and seemingly insignificant that do a great job or grow into something enormous. Jesus is talking, of course, about the kingdom of God, and he uses the idea of a mustard seed. Jesus calls it the smallest of all seeds. But yet when that's planted, when it starts to grow, Jesus says it grows into a huge shrub, a mighty tree, where the birds can find comfort and build their nests. We might think of a mustard seed as insignificant, and we might wonder why Jesus uses something that small to talk about a great growth in faith. You need to know that in Jesus' day, the mustard shrub was considered a weed. It wasn't something that people would give precious ground, precious space to grow. They would pull it out and burn it in a fire. They didn't want mustard growing in their fields. It wasn't like somebody would go out intentionally to spread a mustard seed. Yet Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like, a mustard seed, a small, insignificant seed that perhaps the world doesn't appreciate, but that in God's eyes is very significant. The mustard seed could be also the story of our own faith. It starts out small, and then as God nurtures it, it grows. And it grows into a great and mighty being, a person of faith, a disciple. In Jesus' day, people were looking for him to create a kingdom that was like the Roman Empire, a kingdom of mighty political power, a kingdom of pomp. And Jesus says that's not what the kingdom of God is like. It has humble beginnings. It starts out small, but it will grow. Don't let its small beginnings fool you, because it will grow into being a mighty movement where people will find hope and comfort and compassion. something small that the world seems to believe is insignificant, God uses in a very mighty and powerful way. The parallel to that is the woman and the yeast. The leaven, yeast, which is very small, you hardly can detect one little grain of yeast from another. That small amount hidden in flour will raise a whole batch of dough enough to feed a multitude. You might think that that yeast, which you can hardly see, would have any role. But without that yeast, the dough would not rise. Without that yeast, bread would be flat. Jesus is saying that sometimes in our own faith life, we might not realize how significant we are. We may not realize in a community of faith what difference our faith makes, what difference our words and deeds make. Truly, we may not see ourselves as important, but just as the yeast is necessary for that bread to rise, so is your faith, so are your actions, so are your words, to change a family, to change a community. Jesus is saying, don't ever think that as a disciple, that what you do is insignificant. Like the yeast, it may be the most important ingredient that the community needs. Jesus then tells two parables together. They're very parallel stories. One is someone who accidentally trips over a treasure in the field. And without telling the owner of the field that it's there, he sells everything that he has so that he can buy that field. Almost sounds like a thief, doesn't it? Not to tell the owner about the great treasure that's in that field. But the point is, that treasure means everything to that person. He may have found it by accident, but it means the world to him, and he would give up everything to own that treasure. The parallel story is a merchant who spends his whole life searching for that great prize, that pearl that he knows is out there someplace. And when he finally finds it, he sells everything he owns, which means all the goods that he has to sell. He sells them all just to own that pearl of great value. Now, what do you think the treasure is in Jesus' parable? He says it's the kingdom of God. It's faith in God. It's following God's will. That should be the number one priority. It should be important enough that you would give up everything to claim that. Whether you find it by accident or whether you discover it after a long search, it should be your number one priority to have faith and to follow the will of God. It's the number one prize. It should always be what it is that we work for and what we give up everything else for. Discovery of that treasure, discovery of faith, discovery of God's will should take precedence over prudence or caution, and our priorities should be reshaped with single-minded devotion when it is that we become people of faith. I read a little story this week that talks to me about priorities, with no offense to all the men in the congregation. Of course, some people have difficulty deciding what is most important. A man went to the sheriff's department to report that his wife was missing. "My wife is missing," he reported to the desk sergeant. "She went shopping yesterday and has not come home." So the sergeant asked him, "What's her height?" The man said, "Gee, I'm not sure, a little over 5 feet tall, I suppose." The sergeant asked, "Well, what about her weight?" The man looked helpless. "I don't know," he said. "She's not slim, but she's not really fat." So the sergeant asked, "What's the color of her eyes?" And the man answered, "I never noticed." "The color of her hair?" the sergeant asked. "It changes a couple times a year," said the man. "Maybe dark brown." "What was she wearing?" the sergeant asked. "Could have been a skirt or short," said the man. "I don't remember exactly." So the sergeant asked, "What kind of car did she go in?" And the man said, "She went in my truck." "Well, what kind of truck is it?" the sergeant asked. The man glowed and said, "It's a brand new 2017 Ford F-150 King Ranch 4x4. It has custom leather seats and Bubba floor mats. It has a heavy-duty towing package with a gold hitch, a DVD with navigation, a 21-channel CB radio, 6 cup holders, and 4 power outlets." Then he paused for a moment. My wife put a small scratch on the driver's door. At this point, the husband started choking up. Don't worry, the sergeant reassured him sympathetically. We'll find your truck. Everyone has their own set of priorities. In that story, of course, the truck was more important than the wife. But don't we also all have our own set of priorities? What comes first in our lives? Is it to seek after the kingdom of God, or does something else grab all of our attention? What is it that we talk about most? Do we talk about our faith? Do we talk about our families? Do we talk about ourselves? What is it that has our attention? What is it that claims first place in our life? Is it God's will? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it to be a faithful disciple? Some of you may know that I'm a fan of the country singer Keith Urban. And Keith Urban has a song, now don't laugh at the title, John Cougar, John Deere, and John 3:16, country. But there's a bridge in that song that has caught my attention every time I hear him sing this. And he sings, I spent a lot of years running from believing, looking for another way to save my soul. The longer I live, the more I see it. There's only one way home. There's only one way home. I think that's true for us. There's only one way home, and it's through Jesus. It's through faith in Jesus. It's about following God's will. It's about keeping God first in our lives. That's the only way that we'll have satisfaction in our lives, if we keep God's kingdom as number one. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus says it this way, seek first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Eugene Peterson translates it this way, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The scripture that Roland read for us this morning in Paul's letter to the Romans is a reminder that once we find that treasure, once we know that Christ is our Savior, once we believe that Christ died for our sins, we have a wonderful assurance. We have the assurance that God will never let us go, no matter how bad our lives, no, regardless of sin, for sin will always be there, sin will always be active in our lives and in the world. But even knowing that, we have the assurance that with God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we have hope for each and every day. That's the great treasure. That's what we need to hold on to, that promise that in God's will, in God's kingdom, for the faithful, for those who believe, there will always be hope. We'll always have that assurance. We'll always know that we are that we cannot be separated from God. We need to claim that treasure. We need to realize that our faith life is what's most important to us. Jesus has one more parable in these stories. It's really a kingdom tale that's a precautionary tale. It's a story of judgment at the end of time. Matthew, earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells a parable about weeds that grow with the wheat. And he says to those who would want to pull the weeds out, let them grow with the wheat. And then at the end of time, when it's harvested, then we'll divide the weeds from the wheat. He says that now about fish. All kinds of fish swim together, and God flings his net wide. And when the fish are hauled in, at that end time, God will sort it out. It's not our place to judge. It's not our place to say you're a good fish or a bad fish, you're a weed or you're wheat. Really, as disciples, we live with all kinds of people. What matters is how we live, not how our neighbor lives, not how someone else lives, but how is it that we live? What's our first priority? Is the kingdom of God our treasure? Do we have the faith of a mustard seed? Will we be that yeast that will help to raise the whole community? Jesus ends that passage by saying that a scribe is like a housekeeper that brings out the treasure from the old and the new. these would-be disciples that Jesus is speaking to, he is saying that when you go out and teach about the kingdom of God, you use the old and you use the new. The old is the foundation, the new is the exciting. But the wise teacher will use both to build on that strong foundation and that new growth come. Disciples, followers of Jesus, need to find a new way to tell the old story. It might not be about mustard seeds. It might not be about yeast or treasures in a field or a great pearl. It may not be about fishing in nets. It may be a completely different metaphor, image, and other words. But the truth will always be the same. The truth will always be the same, that our number one priority should always be to seek after God's kingdom, and everything else will fall in place. The kingdom, God's will, needs to be our first priority. Amen.